Did any of you bring your upper room with you this week? Did you stick it in your Bible? Did anybody bring your old one? One we're still using. This is the new one. Nobody brought it along, all right? You remember the story of the older man and made fun of a little lady that was real short? Do you remember reading that? Well, that goes right along with what we're going to talk about today. That's why I was went to look for it, but I thought, oh, that's May. I don't have April's here. I was going to read it. It had to do with an older gentleman. Was it on a bus? Some sort of mobility, special mobility. Yeah, that's what it was. It's coming back to me. Pieces, bits are coming back. An older gentleman saw the little short lady get on the bus, and he's sort of made gestures or made fun of her being little. Well, I didn't go over too good. When she explained that she was little because of cancer and chemo and all the other stuff, then I'm sure the gentleman could have took his foot and stuck it in his mouth. How many times have we done things like that, said things that after we said it, we thought, oh, brother, that was the wrong thing to say. Huh? We all have done that. Time or another, there's times that every one of us have said something that we probably shouldn't have said. And after we said it, it was too late. We saw the damage was already done. Or might have been something that we could have said differently. Maybe used a different word than what we use, because words are important. And sometimes we open our mouth before we engage our mind. And obviously that's what happened in that devotional that day. I thought, wow, I just thought of that. And I thought, boy, is that perfect for chapter 3 of James. If you're not there yet, get there. Chapter 3 of James, we're talking about taming the tongue. Taming the tongue. I guess we can use that title for the entire chapter because that pretty much fits. Taming the tongue. We're in chapter 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, before we can do anything else, Lord, we give glory and honor to you. Hide me behind the cross today. And Lord, let your word go forth and accomplish all that you want it to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 9, it said therewith, and I think we got to go back to chapter or verse 8 because it's really talking about therewith. It leads back to verse 8, where we finished when we left on our last study, verse 8. Verse 8 talks about the tongue can no man tame. Well, no man can do it, but I can tell you Jesus can. With man, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. So no man can tame the tongue. It's unruly, evil, and it's full of deadly poison. I'd like to just read a little bit of that, and then we're going to go right into our next verse. Tongues do great damage to individuals. A word, Proverbs says, fitly spoken, can do a lot of good things. But words that aren't fitly spoken can do a lot of damageable things. And I know everyone here has had somebody say something to you at one time or another that damaged you, that hurt you. And I'll bet you can still remember what it was that was said to you. Now, you might have thought you've gotten over it, but you never forgot it. You remember it. It's no wonder it's full of deadly poison. I've written in here without a label. Wow, that's dangerous. You ever have any bottles or cans at home you found stuff in and didn't have a label on it? What's in it? Don't know. Oh, man. Whatever it is. I don't need that. It's dangerous. You don't know what's in it. No label. even makes it more deadly. Our lips and tongues can be full of poison. It takes only a whispered word or an insinuation. You can smear a character. You can destroy an entire life with just a few words. Speaks of death. Blows that words can deliver to good relationships. One single word, one single sentence uttered in a heated discussion may sever a long, long friendship. It takes a long time to establish a really nice friendship. Do you have friends? I remember Mother always telling me, pick the right kind of friends. Be sure that you pick the right kind of friends. Because throughout life, you're going to need one. Throughout life, you're going to need a friend on whom you can depend. Friends are wonderful. To be friendless would be awful. I can't imagine going through life without having a friend. But you can destroy all your friends by just a couple words. Just a few words is all it takes to destroy. You can destroy all your friends by not being careful what you say. Be careful. You ever been hurt by somebody that said a nasty word to you? Well, yeah, I bet every one of you would raise your hand. So you know what? If you've been hurt by it, then why aren't you more careful with your tongue? If you know how hard that was hurt and you know how bad it hurt, that should be something in itself to cause you to watch your tongue. Watch what you say. Don't be so quick to say something. You don't have to say something. Just because you're there, you don't have to give your opinion. Did anybody ask for it? No, probably not. But I like to give my opinion anyway. Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't ask for it. The tongue must overcome contrary forces. We have an old nature that wants to control us and make us sin. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where no talebearer is, the strife ceases. That's where we stopped the last time we were together for this study. It brings us now to verse 9. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Made after the similitude of God? We were God's climax of creation. We were the very, very best of his creation. We were better than all things that were created prior. We were made in the image of God in many ways, in the bodily form, dominion over the animals and the kingdoms of the fowls and beasts and insects and everything else. We have a moral nature. We have a personality. We have a soul, all in the image of God. The tongue can be given power to delight. You like when somebody says nice things to you? Sure, we all do. And it's amazing how nice you can say things and how nice you feel after having heard them. If you and I are going to have tongues that delight, it will be because we've been with the Lord. You can always tell when somebody's been with the Lord. They have that sweet aroma all over them. They're sweet, they're kind, they're gentle. You can always tell when somebody's been with the Lord. And you can also tell when they've been with the devil. You can always tell where they came, where they've been. in word and prayer. Let the Spirit of God fill our hearts with God's love and truth. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. And as we share his word with one another, we are fed and encouraged along the way. If God lights the fire and controls it, then the tongue can be a mighty tool for the winning of the lost and the building up of the church. Amen. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. How absurd it is that those who use their tongues in prayer and praise should ever use them in any other way. Cursing and swearing and vulgarity and all the things of the like. Brethren, James says, this should not be. It shouldn't be, but it happens. That's what he's talking about, because it does happen. He said it shouldn't be that way. Come to church on Sunday. Oh, we're just all full of prayer and praisey. We're all praisey. Come Monday. Don't you cut me off on the highway. Don't you cut me off. You ever cut somebody off and they told you was number one? I got that from Jeff. I borrowed that from Jeff. It's sad. I'm just talking about things that happen. It's real. Outside these walls, it's real. It's where the rubber hits the road. It's real. Whew. How absurd it is. We can use our tongues for prayer and praise, and the next moment we're cursing somebody or swearing at them. These things ought not to be. They ought not to be. Now we have some descriptions here. We have three natural things that James shows us to demonstrate what he's trying to say. Verse 11, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And it's explained a little better in the other verse, between fresh water and salt water. How many of you know the difference between fresh water and salt water? Yeah, there you go. Yes, so do I. Well, can fresh water and sweet water come out of the same fountain? Huh? Wouldn't that be something? If we would install a fountain back here at the church hallway, and one time you get there and it's, man, that's good stuff. And all of a sudden salt water started coming. What in the world? Who put that in there? Well, how would you do it? I don't even know how you do it. You have to put two separate reservoirs in. And you could set with a remote control, and every time somebody you don't like goes up there to drink, just hit the salt water. Huh. Well, that's what it says here. Bitter and sweet water don't go out of the same fountain. It's simple. It's a simple analogy, but it really makes it clear, doesn't it? It gets the point across. It's what James is saying. Bitter and sweet water don't come out of the same fountain, and it shouldn't come out of your mouth the same way neither. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Or in our area, can an apple tree give peaches, or can a peach tree give apples? Absolutely not. Can a blueberry bush give raspberries? No, it can't. Boy, the day when it does that, I'd be all right. Maybe it would be. If you like raspberries, be all right. So we have three analogies here of the natural. We have a fountain, salt and fresh water, fig tree, olives, grapevine, figs. Three natural things that he's showing us here. So it should be impossible for a believer to say anything that would harm the cause of Christ. That's the example James is saying. We have natural things that show us it can't be done, so it shouldn't come out of your mouth either. Human behavior. Opposites ought not come from the same source. Certainly nature teaches us that opposites can't come from the same source. So what is your tongue saying these days? What's your tongue saying these days? You know, whatever your tongue says, it tells on your heart. Whatever you talk about tells me what's on your heart. What the tongue says is the contents of your own heart. As a man speaketh, so is he. Whenever you open your mouth, I can tell you what's going on in your heart. If you talk deceit, your heart's full of deceit. It's that simple. It don't make it any clearer than that. If the only thing coming out of your mouth is lies, that's what comes from your heart. Your heart's not right. You need to get saved. It's just that simple. It ain't rocket science. James is real good here. He makes it very plain. It's real plain. That's why I like him. So what's in your tongue these days? It exposes the contents of your heart. That which is harbored within will ultimately be represented by what we say. And the key to the proper use of the tongue is called control. In our exercising that control, God is honored. Verse 13, trying to move on. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out the good conversation of his works with meekness of wisdom. It's not enough. Wisdom's not enough to have knowledge. You had to have wisdom. So what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge, anyone? Anyone want to share? What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Are they the same? Knowledge is knowing. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowing. Wisdom is applying the knowledge. I have this knowledge, but I need wisdom on how to apply this knowledge. And that comes through years and years of experience. That comes from experience. This is good, isn't it? To be able to use that knowledge correctly is wisdom. That's wisdom. A wise man, James says, let him show a changed life through works. If we are truly wise, having heavenly wisdom, the result will be righteous living. That's what he says. Conversation is more than just talk. It includes our whole manner of life, our overall behavior. And James says there's two types of wisdom available to everyone. There is the wisdom which is earthly or sensual, devilish. It approaches life as if the Almighty God did not exist. And then there's the wisdom which comes from God. It is gentle and meek, pure, peace, gentle, peaceable. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So what are the evidence of false wisdom? We have them here. They're just listed. I just read them for you. This is the evidence of false wisdom. Envy, selfishness, ambitious, zeal, strife, pride, boasting. Nothing's more prouder than the wisdom of men. When God's wisdom is at work, we have humility and submission. You want God to get all the glory. Can always tell where your wisdom's coming from when you want God to receive the glory. If man puffs himself up and wants the glory, you know where that's coming from. That's pretty obvious. Deceit, lie not against the truth. This is the evidence of the wrong kind of wisdom which does not come from God. A man may judge others for wrongdoing, yet overlook his own failures. How often does that happen? The Lord told us that. Don't you be worried about the splinter in your brother's eye. I'm more worried about the beam that's in your eye, Jesus said. Don't be worried about the splinter in your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own. Get the beam out of your own eye first before you see fit to get a splinter out of somebody else's eye. I'd rather not even try to get a splinter out of somebody else. I think God should do that. Let God do that. If you let God do that, you'll fare much better. All right, we're almost done. We can finish up here today with this chapter. Verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. It's the wisdom of the world standard. It's natural. It's distinguished from being spiritual. It's devilish. It's demonic in influence. False wisdom comes from below. The believer has three enemies, the world, flesh, and the devil. The world is earthly. The flesh is sensual, and the devil is devilish. Verse 16 says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Whatever does not come from God is destined to fail, no matter how successful it may seem at the time. We can look at the effects of envy and strife. It brings nothing but confusion and every evil work, foul practice. But on the other hand, you have peace and gentleness and mercy and purity and reasonableness. We have no need to get the counterfeit wisdom of the world that only caters to the flesh and accomplishes the work of the devil. Get your wisdom from God. Get your wisdom from God. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Boy, there's a mouthful. Pure. If a person is not pure, he'll not have any of the other characteristics. If you're not pure, you won't have any of the other characteristics that mark for true wisdom. Holiness and purity is free from defilement. Peaceable. The Bible teaches the individual who has been made pure through his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has established peace between himself and God. And then gentle. I like that word, gentle. Always willing to forgive regardless of the circumstances, who started it, who caused it, who cares, it doesn't matter. Are you sorry? I'm sorry it even came up. We were at the ministerial meeting, I told you on Friday night. Jimmy Neiman, who's been around a while and you all know, told us pastors that were gathered there at the board meeting, his brother Roger, he said, and you can't believe how some of the meetings we had among ministers and pastors when we had our old meetings. He said, I can tell you there was times, he said, that I was embarrassed to be a pastor. He said, you can't believe some of the terrible meetings we had in the UMEA years ago when I was just a boy. I'm so glad we don't have those kind of meetings anymore. Because nothing is accomplished. Nothing is accomplished with meetings like that. Everybody goes home mad. Had them. They had them in these pastoral gatherings when it was all preachers. You know what the problem is? Nobody can agree on nothing. And they're all stubborn and want to have their own way. It's my way. I believe it because I said so. God's not impressed. That's what happens at meetings like that when you insist on having your own opinion and your own way. Just kids, just like a bunch of kids. Don't matter how old you are, you still act like a bunch of kids. You're nothing but kids when you act and talk like that. You might as well just dismiss and go home because there's nothing good accomplished, nothing. James, you're a good fella. You see things that I haven't seen here before. Kind, always willing to forgive regardless of the circumstances. Kindness to one's enemies. Isn't that what Jesus said? Be good to those that hate you, despitefully use you. When you can start doing that, you've matured. Hello, you with me? When you can start being good to those who said nasty things to you, There's a sign of hope for you. There's a sign of hope for you. Learn to do good to those that hate you. You know they hate you. Because they just opened their mouth. They told me what was in their heart. Do good to them anyway. Be good to them. Then when you stand before the Lord, we'll see how that works out. Verse 18. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. To begin with, Jesus Christ is our wisdom. In Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Be wise. Only those who sow good seed will reap a good harvest. Christian living depends upon peace. Amen. Got to the end of it. Hallelujah. Want to stand? It's time to go home. I'm just thankful for God's word. God's word is so true today. It's just as true in the day in which it was written, and it's true today. Everything that James dealt with in his day, we have the same situations in our day. And I'm so grateful for this direction. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word today. It blessed me and thrilled my soul as I was studying, preparing for today. And it spoke to my heart. I thought back of times when I thought I was joking, but it wasn't such a good joke. Much like the devotional, making fun of somebody's height and stature to find out that because they were going through some terrible disease, that's why they were so short. So Lord, it caused me to rethink. And I like to go back to some times when I've said some things like that that I'm not very proud of today. In fact, I wish I wouldn't have even said them. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. After reading that devotional, and after sharing and studying this morning to prepare today, I ask you also to help me. Because I oftentimes just open my mouth before I think about what I want to say. I don't want to do that no more. I want you to help me with that. And anyone else that's here that saying, you know, Roger, I have the same problem. Well, then Lord, I want you to help them too. That was the purpose of this lesson today, to help us all. Help us all do a better job, being a better Christian, being a better example to my family, my grandchildren, and those around me. I want them to see you and me, not me. I want them to see you, your sweet, precious spirit, your kindness and your just peaceableness and your love. I want them to see those things in my life, not the other things. I want you to forgive me of those things. It's time to go home, Lord. I've enjoyed our time together today, praying for your people, reading your word, Sunday school lesson. Just had a wonderful time. Time to go home. Give us a safe trip to our homes till we come back and meet again. In Jesus' name we pray.